Well, hello everyone. Stunker in the audio number 959. I am Jeremy. Joining me this week is Mr. Christopher. What up, man?
Jeremy. How about yourself?
Oh, well, as you know, it's been something else. So, and by the way, is Mr. Christopher, that's got to be a band name, right?
It would not
sound
have
like it. I've never said that before. So, it sounds like some 80s band. Anyways, speaking of the 80s, this has nothing to do with the 80s. Has everything to do with popular music right now. Let's start with NXT. Yes, folks. Chris and I just get right into it. So, where do we even start with NXT? It was kind of a mixed bag, but I actually ended up kind of enjoying the show.
Oh yeah, I think NXT was pretty enjoyable. Once again, when these shows veer towards just being chaotic and unhinged, you know what? That is way better than just putting on matches and just being boring.
Yeah.
Similar to last week's AEW show. Maybe not so much this week's AEW show, but yes. And NXT was definitely you know what? They threw a lot at the wall.
Dude, all right. We can just get this out of the way. I really hated the beginning of this show. I made that very clear. I don't like the sexy red person. I obviously don't know anything about her personally, but when I discovered it was the chick that was talking about her booty hole being brown, and like, have you ever heard her song Pound Town?
I've never heard it, but okay. I've heard of it.
The only reason I heard about it was everyone making fun of it on Instagram. Like, can you believe this garbage? And I was like, oh my god, this is terrible. So when they said Sexy Red last week, I'm like, who the hell's that? And I looked it up. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then Ava can't act.
Oh, no, she cannot.
It's
Ava sounds like someone. It eternally sounds like a teenager who just got their braces taken off an hour ago. She cannot speak. I didn't mind Sexy Red because she's a better promo than Ava and probably most of the women on the fucking roster, really.
Okay, but I think. What, you mean all the blondes on NXT?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then, it's like, she comes out, and I'm like, oh, all right, we're going to get this over with, cool. And it's like, oh, you're going to be the host of Battleground. Oh, God. And then she's in all of these backstage, I'm like, it's lowest common denominator stuff. It's like when Tony D, like, I can't stand that. Do you remember William Hung from American Idol?
Yeah.
And he became a star because he fucking sucked?
Yeah.
That's all this is.
Like were you going to mention when Tony D'Angelo was going down to the ring with that dude from that Netflix documentary?
Yes.
About ice hockey? Yeah. Hockey team? Yeah.
Lowest common denominator.
But and it's NXT.
I know, and if someone will go, hey, this was really popular, that doesn't make it good. Like, you know,
we've been well past that for a very, very long time.
I know. It's just, I hold wrestling to high standards.
WrestleMania 2, they had both the Burger King spokespeople and the Wendy's spokesperson on that show. They had the Where's the Beef lady and the old couple from the Burger King commercial.
I know it's wrestling, so it shouldn't matter. And it's also like it breaks my own rule of like something's popular for right now. Ignore it. If it sucks, ignore it. It'll be gone. And that's all this is, but it's like it's just taking, like.
I thought I was missing something bigger, but no. This just became a internet thing.
Yeah.
Like last year, she has not been around, you know, since before 2023.
Yeah, and that's where it should have stayed too. Just everyone. All right, so it's like it's kind of like having the. I don't even know what he does, but it's like a guy that. It's on Instagram, and instead of singing, he's just going shh, 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 like that. Did you see those videos? Like, that person, they took off too.
Yeah.
Or a better example is Corey Feldman. In his singing career, he sells out places because of the disaster he is. And now he's opening for Limp Bizkit. I don't like this stuff. I never have. So to see it permeate something I do like really bugged me. And I know I just got to deal with it until what, 2 weeks? For 2 more weeks?
Yeah, I was set. Yeah.
All right, and then fine, but whatever. But the whole Ava her thing, like it was such a weird dynamic. Ava's like, "It's really nice to have you here," and she repeated herself too. So I don't know, Sexy Red was just doing whatever she wanted to. I will say this, Booker T selling Sexy Red was something weird. Like, calm down, buddy. You've got the internet on your phone. You can see far better. Like, it's almost borderline uncomfortable. Like, Charmel be like, "Hey, what's the matter with you?" So, but anyways, after that, the show was just, I guess like the two big stories outside of my worst nightmare with NXT came true. They put almost all of the blondes, I'm lumping them all together from now on, in the same backstage skit. I could not believe what I was seeing. I couldn't tell you who any of them are still, except not Mariah May. I know she's back there. Because Brynlee Reese wasn't in there because she had a match.
Yeah.
Thea Hale wasn't back there. Sel Ruka wasn't even on the show. Thought that was interesting. And then, yeah, I don't know. I named three blondes, and I'm blondes in quotes because I know Thea Hale dyes her hair. And you have a whole room full of them. Shotzi's out. Someone dye your hair green. Becky's gone. So is Gigi. Dye your hair orange. Come on, I want color coded because your names are ridiculous. I'm not going to remember them.
No. I do not remember. I think I remember the tall one. That's Izzy Dame, right?
Yeah, that's not Mariah May. Yes.
Oh, okay. I do not. I would have thought the one that's with Natalia would be more, not Mariah May.
Maybe I'm getting them confused then because I forgot about her too.
Okay, that one, I think her name is Carmen Petrovic.
Yeah, I came up with this last week for one of them, because Kevin was like, "Doesn't she look like, yeah, not Mariah May? That's exactly what she looks like." Yes, it reminds me of Mariah May. So, but there's just something like, I don't know. You've either got African American women or blondes, and then every once in a while they're smattering a dark haired girl in there. It's crazy to me. I know it's a real nitpick thing. It just drives me batty. I
Oh,
swear.
no. The just the just the inundation of just all of these new people into NXT, and I know so much of it's out of necessity with what NXT's what they've lost, but even before that, even before the post WrestleMania and the draft, it felt like just they're just introducing way too many new people all at once, and none of them stand out from each other. And yes, it is the worst with the women.
Yeah. Well, the funniest one to me is Dante Chen. He was on NXT. He just disappeared. And then he comes back from NXT level up. And Robert Stone says, "I know you're looking for some fresh new talent." Fresh? He's been around for 2 years. And they just, like, I lost my train of thought, by the way, but like they'd introduce somebody as new, even though he's been around, and then they're like, "Oh, here's this person. Here's this person." Like, what's it? Is it Javon Evans that's palling around with Trick right now?
Yeah.
Okay, he just comes out of nowhere, and now he's just hanging out with the champ. Like, you'd think Trick would be like, "I don't need friends. I'm all right." Like.
Oh, we gotta. Oh yeah, Trick. Ooh, boy, is he having a rough time, yeah, getting his feet underneath him as champion.
Yeah, Kevin and I mentioned it last week. I know they have that thing with Metaphor, but it's bad.
But Metaphor is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they made some kind of a change, but oh my god, the change that they made!
What do you mean?
What?
What change are you talking about? Explain.
The one where Ethan Page is.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine.
Immediately attacks the champion and is the number one contender.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the two big stories that really came out of this show.
Yeah. So, oh, definitely.
Yeah, and okay, so let's take it at face value for right now, without all that. That was actually a surprise to me.
That was a huge surprise. Oh, it was a huge surprise. I had no idea that was in the works.
No, I mean, I know, but he left part of the reason, AEW.
But part of the reason that no one had any idea that was in the works is because no one was really asking about the status of fucking Ethan Page.
Yeah, there is that, yes. Which, when he left TNA way back, people were like, oh, is he leaving? Where is he going? So, I mean, that's how far he fell in AEW.
Yeah.
So, it's like, I know what you're getting at. I don't disagree with you, by the way. But it's also like, that wasn't supposed to be the case. Like, he had some decent momentum behind him coming out of TNA. And AEW is a much smaller, I'm going to say smaller company. I don't know if small is the right word. But when he went there, it was like, oh, he might actually stand out a little bit. Because I don't know if you were familiar with any of his TNA work before Karate Man and all that stuff. I thought he was pretty solid. So, I'm not a huge fan, but, you know, it does make me a little excited to see what he can do under a company that's competent.
Yeah, but he's immediately being put against the champion in a match he's not going to win.
Exactly, yes. Well, yeah. Unless they're calling Trick up, like, we got to get his ass out of here.
Which I guess there's a small possibility of that, but I still... There's definitely things that Trick needs work on, though, too.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there's, like, the combination of the two. This Trick championship run is not good.
No.
And that sucks.
He's a middle-of-the-show world champion, much like, he's a beginning or middle-of-the-show world champion, like somebody else we're going to talk about later. Maybe he was in the main event this week, but that was probably the first time since he's been champion that his segment went last.
No, didn't he go last week, and that's when Joe Coffey and Gallus attacked him?
I guess so, but oh my god, how I cannot care less what anything Gallus is involved in either.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. NXT is definitely. They lost a lot coming out of WrestleMania weekend, and they didn't have much to replenish it. Because once again, it's like the point I've made before: is their roster loaded, or is there just a lot of bodies? And there's, you know, especially on the women's side, but is there there's a lot of bodies?
Yeah, I remember was having that discussion, and yes, the women, there are just a lot of them, and. It's funny, though, to have a lot of women and then have Meechan in a ladder match, which is good, by the way, because she's nuts. And I remember those with her and Io.
Yeah.
Damn near killing herself.
I think Io would be a... Yeah, not you know, Meechan's definitely a good person to have in NXT. But, once again, they did not have anyone ready, and we're going to talk about this again in probably next... For Trick with Ilya gone, with Mello gone, with Braun gone, they had no one ready, and so you had what first you were going to take Noam Dar, who's 5'7" and a clown basically, and well, he was going to be a.
Go ahead, sorry.
And he was going to be the first challenger for. Mm-hmm. For Trick. But they did move on from that, and then, you know, they had the idea for, you know, people being taken out backstage and who's doing it, and then it turns out it's Ethan Page.
Yeah. Now, I will say this about Noam Dar, and I say this all the time. If he was taller, and he's not going to be, but if he was at least 6 feet tall, there's something to him. When he turns on being serious, you can forget about the clowny way he acts.
I don't think I've ever really seen him that serious, though.
I think it may have been a week or two ago.
I just struggle to take him seriously. Yeah. I always say I'm dating back to 205 Live. I've never gotten him, and I guess I'm just kind of just so tired of this modern internet humor and, oh my god, isn't that so wacky? Isn't that just so wacky type of thing? Like, in other ways it involves, grown adults acting like children or acting like complete stereotypes. I'm going to say something right now that a lot of people are going to disagree with, and you probably will too. I don't get Pretty Deadly.
I think Pretty Deadly, see, I enjoy them because of the flamboyance, and I also look at it as the ambiguously gay duo without being the ambiguously gay duo, because you can't do that now.
Right, yeah.
And you can, but... So them just acting pompous, prissy even, I kind of get it. But then they're also murderers too. You know, they do ramp up, well, murder's a little extreme, but you know what I mean? They can show an edge to them as well. Which, when they were in NXT UK, I was like, who the fuck are these guys? But then two guys acting pretty, which is something like we're not used to. That's been done before, but just not in years. So, like, I always go back to the vignette in NXT. When they wake up and they're combing each other's hair. They're talking about picking out what they're going to wear. All this stuff. That stuff, it didn't really seem to me that it was internet comedy. It's just, like, it's just their character. I thought it was actually believable. And like, not... Like, a Wendy Chu, take that for example. That's garbage. Like, that's not funny. That's like, internet humor to me. Like, oh, look, she has pajamas and footy pajamas, and she carries her cup with her. But those guys, I see it. And then when they went to the main roster, I wasn't expecting quite as much, but it seems like it got worse, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. They've never shown an ounce of killer instinct or anything.
Yeah.
Beyond just being something to point and laugh at.
Yes. And I think that's where they need... I'm wondering if that's why they're off TV for right now.
It might be.
So, which is good. Because you can't have... I mean, who was... he had the flower shop.
Adrian Adonis?
Yeah. Even he, you know, he acted all flamboyant, gay if you want. And then he was a killer. And he was brutal. And that's what, it would be nice if those two went to that, but those guys don't look like him either. So,
no, they don't.
You know, it's just stuff like that. So, as an aside, I still enjoy him.
My point though, but that's what Metaphor is to me. It's just this modern, like, Gen Z humor, and I'm on the internet a lot, and I'm just surrounded by all these adults who just yuck this stuff up. I'm like, didn't you grow up with, like, real comedy? Like, 30-plus years old? How do you think this is funny? How do you think this is entertaining?
Do you want to have an old man conversation right now?
I do want to have... I think I do.
That's the whole... Like, that's us getting older, and
yes.
For me, how, like, banal and generic people are. Like, have you tried watching Saturday Night Live? The quintessential show. Every generation has its own, like, Saturday Night Live that they can latch onto, and it's really funny. Have you tried watching that show at all in the last 5 years?
Other than the Beavis and Butthead sketch?
That's... Okay, perfect.
That was...
That sketch sucks.
Are you serious? That's the best thing they've done in years.
It is exactly my point. What was funny about that? No, for, I mean, for you, I'm not... If you liked it, fine. But what did you find funny about it?
I thought it was funny that they looked exactly like Beavis and Butthead. I thought the way that Kenan Thompson was playing it was absolutely perfect.
See, I hated the way he played it. I liked the fact that he was like, what's he doing here? Or like, wait, what? And then he goes, well, he looks like Butthead. I don't need it explained. I see what this guy looks like.
Well, and, that's the, you know, that was the humor because nobody else saw it. Because no one, no one else remembers Beavis and Butthead.
But it's like reading a grocery list. Oh, he looks like Butthead. You don't see he looks like Butthead. Well, the cartoon series Beavis and Butthead. This, and I'm sitting there going, oh my god, they're explaining every fucking joke here. Like, we know they don't see it. Like, there's no subtlety at all. They have to explain everything. And like, my friends were sitting there laughing, well, this is so great. And I'm like, I'm going to be the one again that thinks something.
Well, maybe that's a you thing, man.
But it's like, okay, but no, but it goes to what you're saying. What happened to people? Like, why do you find this funny? And that's exactly it. Like, Saturday Night Live, there's a goddamn thing funny on that show. I did see one clip. It was celebrity. It was Black Jeopardy, I think.
Oh yeah, that was before the 2016 election.
Oh really?
That was maybe the last great sketch they ever did. Yeah,
because that was with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, Tom Hanks one. Yeah.
Okay, I thought, wow, that's pretty funny, because they didn't explain anything. Kenan Thompson says something, like, lady answers, and they're all like, oh, yep. And then Tom Hanks answers it, and he's like, I like you, Earl, or whatever his name is. And then it was just like, yeah, like, him saying something was funny because it's Tom Hanks, and he's like the Trumper guy. I guess he's supposed to be a Trump guy.
Yeah.
And then the host and the two ladies, like, agreeing with him. That's the humor of it. Not going, yeah, I enjoy that you think the exact same way I do. That's how they explain everything. But that's also how boring everybody is now. I've thought a lot about this. We do the whole fucking show on this. Everyone accepts average. Sexy Red started the show. We're accepting below average. Anything dangerous, like, my sense of humor leans dark. And even then, sometimes I'm like, nah, this is a little too much for me. But like, humor now, I see people, you can just see the pictures of them and go, they're not going to be funny. And it will never fail you. Which before, it'd be like, wait a second, this isn't going to be funny. And you watch it, like, oh, that's actually really funny. But I guarantee you right now, no matter what you do. And it's just it's a different sensibility. People will accept something average and say it's the greatest thing. So, like, metaphors just below average, but it's a group that makes no sense anyways. So, I mean, okay. I don't like saying stuff like this, but why does Oro Mensah, like, why is he in wrestling? Is that a real accent, or is he purposely jacking that thing up so you have no idea what he's saying?
No, I agree. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's a lot of this humor that so many people seem to pop for nowadays is just involves people saying things they wouldn't. And again, there's a room for being outlandish in anything.
Yeah.
But it just feels like I guess I don't like saying this because I don't. We might get into trouble for it, but Lord knows who's listening to this. A lot of it just feels like men acting like sissies and speaking in a way that you would not speak if you were. And they're not in any way, shape, or form carrying themselves like athletes. I think that's a better way to put it.
Okay, well,
like athletes in any kind of a serious sport. I mean, you can make your jokes. You can interject humor in things, but it seems like their entire persona is a joke.
Okay, I understand what you mean. Yeah, yeah. I think that's very fair.
that's a better way to explain it than saying, than maybe sure that, oh, I just want toxic masculinity here. No, I want people to take certain the situations they're in seriously. It's just supposed to be a sport about titles and money.
Do you ever watch a Marvel movie?
Yeah.
There you go. Just remember, like, okay, any Marvel movie, they're in the middle of a big battle, and all of a sudden, they just start cutting jokes. You're like, oh yeah, that's what happened. But then, did you ever see Bad Boys, the original Bad Boys, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence?
Yeah.
Everyone loved it. I couldn't stand that movie. It just drags me straight out of it, to where you're in a massive gunfight, and you guys are cracking jokes about stuff, and it's like, why should I take anything seriously if you don't? Like, a perfect example, this movie sucked anyways, but Ant-Man and the Quantumverse, whatever that dumb shit was, did you happen to see that?
No, I've for the most part avoided everything. I'm not the biggest Marvel guy to begin with.
And that's okay.
But everything after Infinity War or Spider-Man No Way Home, depending if you want to count that, I just have had no interest in.
Okay, so Spider-Man No Way Home had a very interesting take on this. Tobey Maguire, no, I'm sorry, Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland are arguing about something. And Tobey Maguire stands there, and you can see he's annoyed, and he just goes, what does this have to do with anything? We're here to stop this guy. And I stood up on my seat like, oh my God, there's an adult in one of these movies. He basically represents everything we're saying. You two idiots are arguing over a power. I can't remember what it was. And he's like, this guy's trying to kill us. Like, focus. And it'd be like, oh, hey, Marvel, it'd be nice if you actually took your own advice for a change. But it's like that in a lot of things. Everyone's got to have some quip. And then to your point, I can't take you seriously. And really, it's funny to say, and I know what you mean, but this is supposed to be a pseudo-sport about, well, sports and money and titles, right?
Yeah.
We just saw a pay-per-view where some guy got set on fire with a blowtorch. So, I'm not saying that's good. Oh, but by the way, I did call that, though. I did say someone's getting caught on fire. I just said it was going to be Darby, but oh well. Which, in my defense, that should have been who got caught on fire. But anyways. So, it's like, wrestling's always been that way. And especially, you know, we got a guy that could, like, lower the lights and shoot lightning.
But it was it. But he always wanted to win. Him, Undertaker, and Kane were always about winning.
Yeah, okay.
And or hurting their opponents.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Yeah, well, you mean they didn't want to just have fun in there?
No. They were there. They went there to just have fun. Well, I guess to get back to our comedy, the talk conversation, our little aside here. I originally had someone at least put something about Naked Gun and all those old, like, parody-type movies. Those movies were never about anyone making funny quips.
Right.
These people, you know, Leslie Nielsen in particular was master of this. At being deadpan serious while situations were funny.
Yes.
And reacting, and in some ways, I guess, normally, but not normally, because obviously you maybe panic in some of these situations, but you know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
You know, situations are funny. People are not just supposed to be making quips in the middle of serious situations.
So real quick, one of the funnier things from the first Naked Gun movie that always cracked me up. It was at the end, Ricardo Montalban, you know, gets run over, and then the marching band comes over, and then something else, right? It wasn't Drebin. He was there.
Yeah, no, it was Ed. Yeah.
Ed's going, oh my God, it's terrible. And Drebin is staring at him like, you pussy. Like,
I know, Ed, I know. And then,
oh my God, and then, that's funny.
Just completely earnestly, my father went the same way. Because apparently he really did. That's the joke.
Yes, that's the joke. It's also facials, all that stuff. Like, anyways, God, that's so old too. But
that is old. But that, I know, and we're old. But as I said, just things like metaphor, where it's just all a joke or You know, it's just all this cutesy. Ooh, look at me! I'm so funny. Look at me! I'm so much fun, and I'm having so much fun. Everything is fun. You know.
Yeah, I can't stand that either. There was somebody. Was it one of the? I want to say maybe on a Saudi Arabia show. I can't remember. They were talking about one of the wrestlers, and that they're trying to loosen up. And have fun in the ring. And I remember just getting pissed. Like, can we please stop with, oh, they're just out there, like the New Day, they're just out there to have fun. Well, yeah, but they also want to win, too. Like, they used to. Well, they always come and go, but it's I hate when they're like, yep, they just love to go out there and have fun. Like, what are you talking about? Like, explain what their fun is then. Is their fun beating people up? Then okay. Or is it fun winning matches? Okay. But it's like, we're just out there to entertain people. Like, just cut it out. I thought that shit was going to be gone with Vince. But there's still plenty of Vince-isms in WWE. So, but anyways, yeah, we are totally off subject to NXT.
Okay, I think we've talked enough about, okay, let's move on to...
Well, we did kind of dodge Ethan Page, but okay, so real quick, do you think he signed with WWE, or is it possible this is a TNA crossover in disguise?
It sounds like he signed.
That's what I was thinking myself. So, and like, what kind of ceiling do you see for him? I know he's coming in at the top, which is weird.
Sean Spears.
Yeah, I mean,
he's there to settle into a role. Yeah. Which is another thing I think maybe we can talk about. I'm starting to think this player coach role doesn't work. Because okay. they can't win, but it also means nothing when you beat them. Because they lose all the time.
True. Yes. Well, Sean Spears came out pretty okay, didn't he? And then he lost to Ridge Holland, and that was kinda like the end of their feud, right?
Yeah, but Rich Holland's already been on the main roster. It's not like he's teaching him anything. Rich Holland's problem is simply that there's just nothing there.
No, there's really not. I mean, even with like him, Sheamus, and Pete Dunne.
I mean, Rich Holland has made it at Survivor Series.
When did he do that?
He was on the War Games team in 2020.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to forget about that, yes.
But no, yeah, the player coach role, like, I don't know. I don't know how old Ethan Page is either.
Yeah, it's kind of a way, because I think he is on the north side of the 30s at this point.
I'll look it up real quick. I am curious.
At least?
At 34.
Well, so, 34, it's not bad. He's younger than Cody, at least.
Yeah.
A few people.
But yeah, but it's so, like, I don't know where he goes.
Maybe he can put something together and get himself a run on the main roster.
I can see him on the main roster. I saw somebody compare him to Muscular Miz, which I'm like, the Miz isn't exactly skinny.
No.
So, but I mean, the guy can talk. I don't think that's ever been his problem. I think he's always been solid in the ring, but that, you know, that stuff doesn't always equate. So, I don't know. It was a surprise, which I liked, because NXT's also doing surprises in the middle of the week for no reason.
Yeah, no.
Like, we didn't need this. They could have just inserted Nolan Gar.
I mean, whatever Sexy Red is worth, from a ratings perspective, that they decided to put on a show that at least focused on new exciting things.
Yeah. Didn't they do like almost 790,000 this week?
They may have. I haven't seen.
Oh no, it was like the highest in a year or something.
Well then.
So it's boy.
Well then, Sexy Red worked then.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, I didn't see the breakdowns. I'd be curious if what we're about to talk about may have been part of it.
It might have been too.
So I already know where you're going to go with this, because there's no other women that are ready, right?
Right. No. That. Yeah. No. This is. I mean, that you have this gigantic women's roster, and yes, most of them of any worth are fighting over the new North American Women's Championship, but left no one to challenge Roxanne Perez. So a call was made.
It almost seems like they shouldn't have called Kiana James up. They should have had her go against Roxanne.
Yeah, but she's but it's heel versus heel then.
I know.
Although they already did that weird thing with Chelsea Green. It's just, they're not really sticking the landing with this Roxanne Perez heel run.
No. As much as Trix has been bad, hers isn't any better.
No.
But
I totally understand that if someone's going to spend about 2 years or so in NXT, they should have both a run as a face and as a heel, so they learn both.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like after the initial turn, Roxanne Perez is just not she's not a natural heel, and she's not being guided along the way to make her a heel either.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, because I think she comes off very stagnant. I almost want to say straight-laced for a heel. Like, it's always very matter-of-fact, slow delivery, and it's like, all right. But then they do the backstage ones, where, you know, they can do other takes, practice, whatever. It's a little bit better, which they should be. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's okay. So I had read that they were going to have Tegan Knox be the.
I read that too.
And I was like, I was like, all right, because, I mean, can anyone really say, wow, that'd be great? I mean, no offense to Tegan, but where is she?
I have no idea.
It's bad because it's not her fault. It's her body's fault. But it's like when she disappears. My first thought is, oh boy, she's injured again. But she's not. So when that name of Jordynne Grace came up, I was like, what? And I immediately went, I've been watching TNA. She's on the show. Like, she's still the champ as far as it was last week. So I like genuine surprises like that.
Yeah, no. As a surprise, it was good. I've never really been the biggest fan of hers ever, really. And now lately, but I am aware of her and her history and everything. So now every time she talks, I'm just like, her voice did not sound like that 5 years ago. Oh. And it's jarring. It is very jarring if you followed her career and knew what she looked like and sounded like 5 years ago.
Yeah, she's gone through, I thank God she's put weight back on, but she did like some bodybuilding, body sculpting competition. Did you ever see those pictures?
And no, I don't remember that.
Oh, it's ruthless. Like, who was Sean Spears' wife?
Peyton Royce?
Yes. She did one of those as well. Even like the old pictures of Dana Brooke, like all of those women's fitness competitions like that, or body sculpting, whatever, they get down to a legit 0% body fat. And it's gross. Like, I think bodybuilder guys, especially the real jack dudes, are gross anyways. But you see what someone used to look like, and using Jordynne in this case, and then what she used to look like, because she was thick mama pump, right?
Yeah.
And, oh boy, it was terrifying. And everyone's like, you need to eat, because she didn't say what she was doing. She was just getting down in weight, and it's like, okay. And then she came out and said, yeah, I competed. Like, thanks for all your kind words, sarcasm. So she's actually thicked back up a little bit, but I guess just keeping fat off. But yeah, so that stuff's going to mess with you, and it'll mess with your voice, too. That's a polite way of saying certain things. So
yes, it is. Very, 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 very much yes. So. Yes.
So I'm doing a Saturday Night Live bit. I'm explaining what I was saying. So,
right. But yes. But yeah. But at Battleground, it is going to be Roxanne versus Jordan Grace in what is apparently not going to be Jordan Grace's only match in NXT?
It doesn't sound like she's the only TNA person that may be interacting with NXT as well.
Which, that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-mm. Well, I thought it was funny. I remember when she was in the Rumble, and Natalya immediately had a picture with her backstage going, I would love to take her on. And now they came out today, Tommy Dreamer said, well, Jordan Grace's next opponent for, I can't remember whatever their pay-per-view is unknown right now. So, I don't know what Natalya's contract situation is either, because they seem to be letting a lot of people go down to the wire now.
I think Natalya's was going to be one of those ones to go down to the wire, too.
Yeah.
That's been said for a while.
Yeah, so if she's still around, I think that'd be a perfect opportunity to have it happen.
Are you talking about the next TNA pay-per-view?
Yes. Yes. That wouldn't be a bad deal
because Jordan Grace is not winning this match.
Okay, here's the other thing. Just like Trick Williams and Ethan Page, maybe they're like, hey, we got to get Roxanne out of here because they know this is a dud. Have Jordan Grace win, and then on the TNA pay-per-view, have someone win it back.
But then, that's...
I know. It's an idea. I'm not saying it's a good one, but it's just, I guess the Royal Rumble was okay, but I guess it would just be strange. Well, it's not on a TNA pay-per-view, so it's not that strange. But to have Jordan Grace come in and lose again. Unless they schmoz it up.
The Royal Rumble doesn't really count.
No, it really doesn't. Plus, she looked awesome.
And TNA has no leverage to demand anything from WWE, so... Mm. Yeah, this seems to be a one-time thing, at least for Jordan Grace challenging for the title. Maybe she'll stick around a little bit. And obviously, when her TNA contract is up,
yeah, I can't imagine.
I don't expect her to resign there.
No, you think?
WWE obviously has, more than anyone else, has somehow strangely and funnily, WWE has made their intentions clear, and there's nothing TNA can do about it. So maybe they might as well get something out of it.
Well, Shawn Michaels is even they had an interview with him today, or was it yesterday? Just saying, I've openly talked about my admiration or whatever for Jordan Grace and her work and her talent. He's like, so when Hunter got her for the Rumble, I was not happy. And it's like, okay, I know he's just, you know, he's pumping it up, but isn't this like legal tampering? Like, we know that TNA ain't going to pay you what we pay you. So this is how good we're going to treat you. So come on over. And TNA's going to be sitting there going, hey, wait a sec. Well, too late now. You know what I mean? Like, you're giving her a taste of what it's going to be like working here. So when your contract's up, TNA doesn't stand a chance. So they're going to lose a talent by doing this. Possibly.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't going to hold on to her anyway.
Yeah, it didn't seem that way. But it doesn't sound like AEW's been, like, she was one I thought was going to AEW when they first started. And nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, even when they were doing TNA crossovers, she never appeared. For AEW, I mean. So I don't know what changed there, but... And I still don't think it'll help her husband get in WWE, so... I think he's her husband. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to this. I like surprises like this, so it works. For me, it works at least. Again, I wish that we could see the quarter-hour breakdowns. I'm just curious on both shows, really, to see what's gonna go on. To see if, like, oh, wait a minute, people tuned in or whatever else after that or during it. I mean, I think in the world of wrestling, Jordan Grace is a decent name. But as casual, it's like, and I think Ethan Page kind of got this too, that it may not be the, was it a needle mover? Is that what the term is?
No, not really particularly.
Yeah, so, because even Ethan Page, like, the crowd reacted at first, and then just kind of, like, politely sat there. So, it wasn't the raucous debut that they usually do, but I'm not sure. What the hell else was on the show? We had Amore, Women's North American qualifiers, no real surprises, and that was about it. Like, was it Oba Femi and Wesley had their stare off again. So, that's going to be an interesting match when that happens. Because that is your classic big man, little man match.
Yeah.
So.
Well, remember, it's not one-on-one.
Who else is in this?
Coffee, oh, isn't he?
That's right, I forgot
about
that.
One of those Gallus dorks.
Yeah. Why don't you like Gallus?
Because they suck.
All right, that's easy.
Because they're just, there's just nothing to them. They're just there. They just exist.
I always told Kevin whenever he gets upset, I like feisty Kevin. I like feisty Chris too. So
it takes a lot to get feisty Kevin though.
It does, and it's great. Oh, I've known him a long time. He used to get feisty a lot more until he got older. So now when it happens, I just sit back. I'm like, yep. Then I'll try and figure out a way to egg it on just to keep it going. Because we were texting about the blondes and then, oh, something else. And it's not something for air, so I'll tell you afterwards. So,
okay.
Because you're involved, too. So
I am involved?
You didn't do anything wrong. So we all agree about a certain thing.
Okay. We can talk about it off here. Okay.
Yeah, so let's talk about AEW.
Yes, let's talk about it.
Where do you start with this show?
Let's start with the beginning.
All right.
So your world champion opening the show, and yet another long competitive back and forth match with someone very so far beneath him.
You skipped over who started the show.
Oh yeah, Mercedes Moné. That's right. Oh yeah, their big multi-million-dollar signing. Yeah,
this is something we all agree on. So,
wow, I can't believe I forgot that's how that show opened. Yeah,
that's the problem. Okay,
they had two segments within a half an hour where it involved dressing up the ring like it was a WWE segment from 2015.
Okay, this isn't mine. But I did read this. Someone goes, she's a CEO, and it's just a ring full of balloons.
Oh yeah, very disappointing. It's just a disappointing child's birthday party. I coined that. Yes, last night on Twitter. Yes, I did. Yes. Oh, it was awful. Oh my God! Like they can't even do that right.
Well, she doesn't help it though. So
no.
This all sounds personal, but it almost seems like there's a lot of real life delusion behind the person that plays the character, or she does a brilliant job of making it seem that way. Because this character makes no sense whatsoever. She comes out and she goes, well, it was worth the wait, and then the greatest of all time is here. And the crowd's like, what? And I'm like, oh, she's turning heel. Here we go, finally. Like, none of this whatever stuff. And then Sky Blue attacks her. And then she's supposed to be the face again.
Well, she made herself a face when she said that she hoped Willow kick Chris Statlander's ass. Too.
Oh, yes. I did miss that. I did skip over that part. Yeah. So, I don't understand who this character is at all. They've done nothing except add a CEO chant to her music. And she's a CEO. I know it's a play on the boss. I get it. But what the hell is this? And then for somebody who wants to act, yeah. It's not good. Like, that microphone is instant death for her.
It really is. It's definitely a testament that WWE was able to hide these weaknesses for nearly a decade, really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
I
remember.
mean, there were moments where she was exposed, but she was always, she was an entrance. She's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
She was never really asked to do the long promo by herself.
That's very true. I didn't think of that. She never really did.
The closest was during the pandemic, but that's when she had Bayley to play off of. So
Exactly. Yes.
that worked well. They had good chemistry. That worked. But so many of her promos now don't even involve her going back and forth with another person, whether they're friend or foe. It's just her in the ring for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and
And
doing that goofy
she
dance.
never really had to do that in WWE. She would always be interrupted. Or she would always have her friend with her, or whatever, or some kind of sidekick with her.
Yeah.
Here, it's just her. What they really should have done was put Stokely Hathaway with her. I think that would have worked, and that would have worked better than Stokely with Chris Statlander, because they don't mix at all.
No, that's such an odd pairing. Like, he didn't match with either one of them, really.
No.
So, but yeah, I could see Stokely be with, yeah, like, not even the hype man, just kind of like a Paul Heyman sort of thing,
Yeah,
but a funnier
you
one,
could
I
do that.
guess.
You'd have that relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. She needs something. One, she needs direction. Two, less time. Less time on the mic, more time wrestling.
Yes.
And then let the crowd decide what they want to do, unless you want to be direct with her promos and be like, all right, you're a heel. But Sky Blue comes out and attacks her, and it's like, okie dokie. And then to have her first match, or second match, and then first as champion, unadvertised, too. So if you paid all this money to get ratings, and that's what essentially, you pay a lot of money for people to do that, but you don't even let them know, hey, she's going to be on in advance, which they don't do much in advance much anymore anyways. But it's just not working, which is okay. And then, isn't calling yourself the greatest of all time, though, instant heel stuff? Like, you don't say it about yourself that makes you a heel. Other people can say it about you, and that's okay. And I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's an amalgamation of her real personality in this character, if it's really her saying this stuff, as we've seen, read, or if it's just a really good character that doesn't make any sense, which would not make it a really good character. So, and again, it's another person that their first match, they get a championship match of some sort. Like, we were talking about Ethan Page. She comes in, at least they built hers up for a while.
They built it up and she won. That's
Oh,
the
true.
difference.
Yeah, true. Well, plus she did have a history with Willow as well, so that did
Yeah, she had
help.
the history with Willow. I didn't really have a problem with that. And well, the real problem is for one. Well, there's a lot of problems with Toni Storm, but while Mercedes is in AEW and holding that TBS championship, that is going to be presented as more important.
Well,
But Toni Storm's got other issues. She has definitely crossed that line into what I was talking about. It's all ha-ha. It's all a big joke.
that stuff.
Everyone she wrestles ends up being worse off than they were before.
Oh, yeah.
It's crossed the line with me. I don't enjoy it in any way anymore.
That's a character that's made for the arena. That's made for the people that are there immediately. It's shown in the ratings. When her stuff comes on, peace out. People leave. So it's a very niche audience. And it's not as bad, but it's almost like a Danhausen sort of thing. A niche-ass idea or a gimmick. Some people like it. The rest of us can't stand it. And it's done, like, Orange Cassidy, to me, was like that. But they've gotten past that. By making like changes to the character. But Toni Storm just keeps seemingly driving further and further to the same destination with this one. And like, I didn't understand the whole stripping and wrapping yourself in a flag. Like, is that what they used to do in the 40s or 50s? Like,
no, I don't understand it, no.
Yeah. So yeah, that whole thing. And, like, what happened to Mariah May's friend? The chick she used to kiss?
Oh, I don't know. I imagine she'll be around for Forbidden Door.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
But speaking of Forbidden Door, we were introduced last night to Mercedes Moné's opponent for Forbidden Door. Some woman I've never seen before or heard of before in my entire life. And I watch a lot of wrestling, and I read about a lot of wrestling.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this person.
And you watch CMLL every once in a while.
No. I watch CMLL every week now. I don't know how old the shows are. And on an aside, I'm getting tired of watching CMLL and AAA.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I can only take people standing around waiting for another move. So often, or some weird hermaphrodite, transvestite, like, I don't understand it, because they refuse to put subtitles up. So all I see in AAA is some old man. I think it's a man. I'm not even being a dick. I don't know. With, like, reddish curly hair like your grandmother would have. Running around the ring, prancing around the ring, and the crowd loves them. I don't get it. CMLL, they don't explain a damn thing. But I've never actually seen one-on-one matches watching CMLL on YouTube. It's always these weird tag matches that have no rules. So anyways, back to this one. I've never heard of this person. She's never been mentioned the entire time I've been watching these shows.
She's also apparently the NJPW Strong Women's Champion, which would have meant she would have beaten Willow for that title.
I don't remember her at all.
I don't either. And that is good. Oh, God. This is like the worst possible time for them to do this Forbidden Door crap, where a bunch of you know, foreign wrestlers just show up out of the blue and have to be pushed and have the show built around them for the next 4 weeks.
Well, do you want to talk about the concept itself? It's stupid.
It has...
There's been wrestlers from every other company on their show. There's no such thing as a Forbidden Door. Like, what are we doing?
That's been a logical fallacy for the whole time, but you've got a cold as hell, as cold as can be, New Japan. AEW has, in the last year, taken three of their top stars in Okada, Jay White, and Ospreay. And WWE has left with a stale-ass roster. None of the new people they tried to build up seem to have you know, been accepted at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta throw in CMLL wrestlers. I guess the AAA relationship is over because you can't have a relationship with CMLL and AAA at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you've got the women's wrestlers from Stardom who are all going to be coming in, or a number of them are probably going to be coming in, and it's just, AEW has enough problems with too many titles, too many people, just coming and going, no consistency, and we are in a TV contract year.
Yes. Yeah, and like their show did better numbers this week. It went up significantly.
Well, yeah. You know what? A lot of that probably was for MJF, but he wasn't on the show.
There was also no NBA game.
That's true too. That is true too. You know, that short dip that they experienced, maybe hopefully for their sake, it was a temporary thing caused by the competition. In large part.
Yeah, I would say it's a combination for sure.
Yeah.
So, lack of interest. I mean, they've got their core, but you know, even some of the core.
But their core has dropped under a million viewers consistently, and the first real drop took place. And this is not talked about as much, but I remember at the time, the build of the first Forbidden Door 2 years ago, and people were just like, "Who is this person? What's going on here?" Mm-hmm. Click.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I mean, if they they talked about last night, John Moxley's young boy, whatever his name was. I have no idea who they're talking about.
But then I'm familiar with that because I was still vaguely watching. I still had my New Japan World subscription until probably. Maybe mid or late 2020, I think, before I started realizing, you know what, this just isn't good anymore.
Yeah, I think I dropped it when AEW started. Way back then.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a gradual for me just not having any interest in any other wrestling, really. You know, it started with AEW and NXT going to USA and for 2 hours and the show being more, you know, time sensitive. To watch it instead of just, you know, it's an hour a week on the network and you can watch it whenever. Then, you know, Collision gets added, Rampage gets added.
Yeah.
I barely watch those shows. I rarely watch those shows anymore. I even if you just watch Raw, SmackDown, and Dynamite, that is still 7 hours of your week.
Yeah, if I did not work from home, I don't think I'd be able to take in this much. It's just like TNA, absolutely not. Like all the stuff on Triller, I've been watching. Although,
I just can't make time for that anymore. I haven't even. Steve's match is available on YouTube, and I hate to say it because he's my friend, but I haven't taken the time to watch it yet.
Oh, I gotta watch that. What promotion was that?
It's just not really. I don't know what it's Pocky. I know that.
Okay, I'll look it up. I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah, I do have to do that too. I mean,
I usually end up watching after this.
He's looking at my friend in a match, but you know, but still, it just speaks to just how fatigued I am with wrestling. And like I say it to you and Kevin all the time, I don't really understand how you could possibly fit more in or want to fit more in. And I know you guys like to just have it around as background noise while you're working or whatever. I just totally bored. I just can't do that. I can't have video. I will pay too little attention to my work and screw something up and get myself shit canned. I only need to have somebody to listen to. I can only deal with that.
Yeah, I've been doing the same thing for so long. It's like breathing. So I can do it really fast and then you know, go about my other business. So that's a big part of it too. It's not always that way. Like, dude, it was so bad at one point I was watching Rocky Mountain Wrestling on Twitch. And I just went, I'm never going to see these people anymore, so never mind. But back to AEW, yeah, this Forbidden Door stuff's just stupid. They have a roster full of people that they don't concentrate on in the correct ways it is. And then you're going to bring in all these other people who a casual audience is not going to buy this pay-per-view. There is no chance. And I know
now,
Osprey,
the first 2 years did really well, but last year they were able to build it around Okada and Danielson and Osprey and Omega. This year has none of that, which has now led to them having to rush Will Osprey into a world title match against Swerve Strickland just days after Osprey won the international title for some reason.
Hey, as long as it means they're going to combine them, I don't care.
Well, I wish you would pick up the Continental Classic Championship.
Well, okay. Well, here's the thing, though. Depending on who wins, you can. And then they could have a dream AEW match of Ospreay and Okada.
You could certainly do that.
You know? I mean, it's not a new match, but it's an AEW dream match. But, yeah, I saw that. I saw Ospreay won last time. I went, what? Like, nobody else? And, like, and again, this is the problem with this company. Rocky Romero somehow has an IWGP title eliminator match. I legitimately asked you guys, has Rocky Romero ever won a match? Like, why is this on AEW TV? I'm confused. Especially if we're having Forbidden Door, the goddamn New Japan champion is on AEW TV already. Like,
that is true, correct?
It doesn't make sense. So anyways, they go through this gauntlet match, which everyone's praising. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It was definitely better than the first time they did this, which was only a month ago.
Yeah, but it's also like, it's not a gauntlet match because it's not like one guy wins, the next guy comes out, right? It's just the Royal Rumble with pinfalls and no over the top. But after a while, like, all the people that were in there just sat outside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I've turned to her, and I was like, where the hell is everybody? So, oh, they must all lost. Like, no. Only one person wins. So, I don't, like, where the hell is everybody? So that was my biggest problem with the matches. You put all these guys in. I don't remember how any of them got that hurt that they never got back in the ring. Because it wasn't that long. But anyways. But yeah, Ospreay winning, I was like, what? But then again, all right, who do they have to face Strick? Swerve.
I mean, no. I mean, what are they going to do? Bring Naito from Japan? The first one of these, you know, was a, I don't know what's the novel concept, but it was something different. You didn't know exactly how it was all going to pan out. The second one, as I said, was built around two matches, you know, and they did a really good job building around those two matches. You know, they basically promised two all-time classics. You know, subjective, whether you could reach that point, but yes, they built a show. This show is not going to have any of that.
I was trying to think, but no, absolutely nothing.
So now you basically, 2 months before Wembley, give away the biggest match AEW can do.
So,
not involving MJF, which him being back in the picture is gonna make things interesting.
Yeah, well, as it should. Swerve loses, I won't be surprised.
No. I won't be surprised, but I thought they were going to save Ospreay winning the big one for Wembley. And they still might be. But he'd have to lose here, then enter the Owen Hart tournament, and then win that, and then get another title shot at Wembley.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably, if depending on what they decide to do, that's probably what's going to happen. I mean, I can't, like, they made such a big deal out of Swerve winning. Oh, no, they didn't. Never mind. No, he got sent to Collision during... That wasn't... When did he win that title? Was it March?
April.
But it was during the basketball tournament, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, in the off chance you're not, you know, like the rest of the country was watching the NCAA tournament...
Well, no. This was during the beginning stages of the NBA NBA playoffs.
Okay, because I know it was on the Collision was on a weird time too, right? Oh no, it was on its regular 8:00. Regardless, they put their brand new champion on Collision. I know you want to get people to watch it, but Mercedes Moné won the TBS title. She gets first shot with a bunch of balloons. And then Swerve comes out in a match that took way too long to be Kill Switch.
No, Kill Switch was this week. Kyle Fletcher was the was right after
yeah.
Dynasty.
Well, I'm a, yeah. I kind of fast forwarded my thoughts to this week.
Yes, yeah, no. So, this week, yes, It basically, yes, it happened to Swerve again.
Yeah, and it's like I guess he's just writing everybody off because he cut his hair off.
Yeah, I guess.
And that's
yeah.
the end. Now, I will say this: when Kill Switch kicked out of, oh crap, the Stomp. I was like, oh, wow, all right, they're going to keep this going, huh? No, he just kicked him in the back of the head, and that was it. I was like, oh, okay. Like, kind of showing, like, a champion mentality. Just like, yeah, I took care of this. Don't worry about it. So, but still, Swerve's always felt like an afterthought since he's won the title. Unfortunately, kind of like Trick does in NXT.
Exactly. It's very
it sucks. I like both of the guys, and it's like to see it treated this way just blows. Like, who wanted to see Swerve versus Christian?
Nobody.
Yeah, like, okay, thanks. So, but kind of got off on that one. But yeah, so Ospreay winning, you're right, it gives away what everyone thought was going to be Wembley, and maybe that's why. To try and, like, you know, pull a fast one, I guess.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. So, but I still think they can get to Wembley with them if they want. But also, they never said that was the plan. So,
no. Yeah. No, and people may be exaggerating, because it's not like Will Ospreay is Davey Boy Smith in England.
Right. No, you're exactly right. So, I would say, I'm trying to put it politely, like, I would say the vast majority of people don't know who Will Ospreay is.
No, they don't.
So, and that's part of their marketing problem. So, but, yeah, I just didn't understand it. And it sounds like you're talking about MJF, he comes back next week. It looks like they're trying to set him and Roosh up.
That might just be a one-week TV thing. Maybe. Because I imagine MJF has to be it. Now MJF has to wrestle at Forbidden Door because it's on Long Island.
True. Yes.
And do they push Roosh for that? Or do they do, you know, just get one MJF Adam Cole match out of the way.
Well, they said that Cole's not ready. I was reading that Cole's nowhere near ready. And that's why they did that whole angle. Just like, forget it. We got to blow this off.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking that. Because I was thinking because he did get... Because MJF did get physical with him.
Yeah.
That meant that he was closer to being.
Yeah. Well, you can just fake a nut shot and then fall to the ground. But no, yeah. That was intended to be a blow off. Like, all right, well, that's it. So, but, and it's like, if you're Adam Cole, buddy, like, something's got to change.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Adam Cole is still doing the same shit he was doing 15 years ago. It's going on 15 years.
15 years ago, he used to lift weights.
Well, that's true.
We're not supposed to body shame. Well, maybe he needs it, because it's crazy how skinny he is now. And I mean skinny. Not like he lost weight or trimmed up or whatever. No, he's skinny. Anyways. But yeah, like the Swerve. So Swerve, that whole thing, it's not resonating at all. And then, like, the crowd there likes it. But then that's it. Like, isn't it like, why wouldn't, alright, if you're going to have Swerve and Killswitch, start the show, start the 9 o'clock hour, or be the main event. But I guess they wanted to make sure they get the gauntlet match in. So, it just not like a sign of respect for your champion. But it's like twice in a row now, coming off of pay-per-views, he's an afterthought. Especially after winning it, that's the most egregious one. So, I'm trying to think what else was on this show. That's worth mentioning. Oh. So we got the Young Bucks and Omega. I'm sorry, not Omega, Okada. And Jack Perry. And then we have the creation of the babyface. What did he say he was? Like temporary
executive vice president?
Yeah.
Of all the people you could grab, no one cares about Christopher Daniels.
No, no. And here's the thing. I don't understand how the power structure works. And this is my big problem with this angle in general. The people who watch the show know this angle is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, they'll buy into other stuff, right? They're not buying this. Like, they want to make Okada a heel. The crowd's not going to boo him.
No, they're not. That ended up very poorly. The bit with him getting the car, yeah.
Yeah.
You deserve a chance, yeah.
And he calls the crowd bitches, because it's funny when someone that doesn't speak English says that.
Yes.
But, so they're like, they're going to give the TNT title to Jack Perry. That's what I kind of figured was going to happen.
And at some point, they might as well have gone through with it.
Yes!
The show does not need another match, qualifying match, tournament, whatever the hell series. You don't
You're
need to copy
it.
By doing a big qualifying matches before a big ladder match.
Yeah.
And that's not just copy WWE. Copy NXT for fuck's sake. Jeez, you're supposed to be above NXT.
Didn't they have a TNT Battle Royal one time, and the last two had a match?
Something like that.
And that's goofy, but it's way better than having a tournament.
Well, it's not really a tournament. It's qualifying matches for a ladder match, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Which is exactly what NXT's been doing.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's... you know what? For the heel heat, they might as well have just given the belt to Jack Perry. And let him walk around with it. Let him defend it.
Yeah.
It's...
But what
they gotta do something. They gotta do something about these belts. These three men's single secondary championships.
Well, four if you count the FTW.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome. But, like, the whole power structure of this feud, real quick, does not make sense. Tony Khan's the owner. All right, so the EVPs can't be fired, right? Fine.
Yeah.
They establish that. Okada can. Jay Perry can be fired again. Peace out. Get out. They're producers. They're not the owner. So he assigns Christopher Daniels to come out. He gives them power that he already has. He says, well, this comes from Tony's mouth. Okay. Why are we putting up with this? Like, there's so many holes in the logic in this. And then, the Young Bucks aren't over. This whole angle's not over.
No.
No one cares. And it's like, as long as Okada says something funny, it'll be fine. Like, okay, whatever. So... I was waiting for Hangman to show up eventually. But guess not. So wherever he is. But what were you saying before? I just wanted to finish that point.
I don't remember now.
I mentioned Jericho and the FTW and like all the titles they have. But yeah, it's so I guess you're not digging the Chris Jericho stuff?
No, not at all. It's all quite bad.
I don't know what makes it worse. He knows it's pissing people off, so he's trying to turn it into something.
He knows it's bad, but as long as he winks, he's getting his desired reaction. He winks at the audience. He knows he's getting the desired response.
Yeah.
It's just so God, it's all bad. It's all very so very bad. And now they're gonna drag Samoa Joe into it. Who's also been a non factor since losing the title.
Yeah. Completely. Oh yeah. But that's how they work though. It's
That's how they work. That is how things work there.
yeah, just no one actually gets over unless it's on accident.
No.
Okay, and that was one thing MJF said that I actually did enjoy, outside of him dropping Vince McMahon's name and the crowd going, ooh, like, well, one, he's not there, and then two, who cares? Like, is there some weird, like, moratorium on them mentioning anything, like, calling WWE by name, or people there by name? It's such a bizarre thing they do. Anyways, when he said, like, I'm the only guy here that made myself, I didn't have a New Japan, and I didn't have a Vince McMahon behind me. And it's like, huh. I mean, there are some other guys there, but no one's reached the level he did. So he kind of had some credence, but whatever. And maybe Jericho can help out with that. So, I do not take any responsibility for it. So, even though you try to blame me for it. Yeah, I don't know. AEW is just AEW most of the time. I wasn't bored watching, so that was an improvement. And then it ended. So, although, why is Max Caster trying to look like Lionel Richie? I'm confused.
I have no idea. Oh my! I thought we were running the corner to being done with the Acclaimed, but now they're going to be, I guess, getting as much TV time as ever, at least in the short term.
I mean, they used to be somebody, and then they killed them.
Well, I think that the unoriginality of Max Caster's raps finally caught up with them. The whole, yeah, it was doomed.
And now, well, yeah, now I guess they're paying for it. So, but it's AEW. We're almost at an hour and a half. So, yeah. By the time we have our next show, Chad Gable and Natalya may not work for WWE. That's kind of crazy. So, how you... Yeah, it's too late to bring it up, but how you let someone's contract start to run out while you're in the middle of an angle is beyond me.
I have... Yeah, that's pretty crazy to me. I don't know how that was able to happen.
Yeah.
No. I guess this is a situation you have to rectify immediately.
Yeah, unless that's why that director of talent was let go. Because they got rid of the latest director of talent development, or talent relations. So maybe someone finally paid attention. Was like, we have 18 contracts coming up. Who's in there? Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins. Wait, what? Oh, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre's in there. Chad Gable, Natalya. You're fired. We'll figure this out on our own. And there's probably other people that have been let go. We just don't know yet. So, because they don't make them public anymore, at least for now. But,
right.
All right, let's get out of here. So, yeah, no beer on my end. No beer on Chris's end. And, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll get you later.
All right. Check us out on iHeartRadio, on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, which is, I guess, iTunes is the same as Apple. So normally do one of those things. And I'm pretty sure Kevin and I will catch you next week. Later.